Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here on AFR on this, Tuesday? I know it's Election Day, Tuesday, November the 7th, 2023. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How's everything in Kansas City?
Oh, man, it's like spring up here. It's going up to 72 degrees today and 69 tomorrow. This is a little unusual, I think, for early November. So, you know, you were talking last week about Indian summer, and then it got cold, and now we're warmed up again. Good bike riding weather, let's say it that way.
Yeah. It's, what is it going to be, 82, 83 where we are in Tupelo today?
Yeah, it gets cool overnight, which is nice. It's fine. And then it warms up during the day. It's kind of perfect weather. I love
no humidity. I mean, I could get used to this. This is Florida in the winter right here.
I'm liking it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Election Day.
It is Election Day. Some people are calling today the warm-up for 1 year from now.
Right.
The 24 election. A lot of interesting races. We have governor races in Kentucky and in Mississippi. A lot of people are watching those. And then we have in Virginia, school board elections there. Also, Republicans in Virginia hoping to take control of the Senate there so that Governor Youngkin, as he says, can have full control and bring in his agenda. And then in Ohio, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, there is a big referendum on changing the Constitution. And this is one that we want to take a few minutes on because it's really important to know how to vote. For pro-life people, it is important to vote no. This is a change in the Constitution that the pro-abortions want. And we had a piece on our American Family News this morning from our pro-life reporter, Charlie Butts. And he put it down to this: if Ohio voters don't vote no in sufficient numbers, abortion will be legal up to birth, parental consent will be banished, safety standards will be eliminated, and tax dollars will be used to pay for abortions. So basically, unless you vote no, if people were to vote yes and the yes side was to win, it's open season on abortion. So that's why the pro-life cause has been so important in this, getting the message out to vote no on this all-important Ohio abortion issue.
So for those listening in Ohio, today's a very important day. You must find a way to get to the polls, and you must vote how, Fred?
Vote no.
Vote no on which amendment?
On Amendment 1. There is another amendment, Amendment 2. It has to deal with recreational marijuana. And also vote no on that, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you followed this, Ray?
I have. And Ohio has been trending red in the last few presidential elections. We generally think of Ohio as a conservative state. But the other side, the pro-abortion side, guys, they have poured in unbelievable amounts of money. Let's understand, this is not a question of limited abortion access. This is unlimited abortion access enshrined into the Ohio Constitution up until the moment of birth. It is unbelievably radical step to take. I think the thing that encourages me, the governor of Ohio, what's his name?
DeWine.
He has come out. He has said, vote no on this. He's exactly right. And that's the one thing that encourages me. One reason why it's important to have good conservative governors in place. But the other side is spending tens of millions of dollars to get this thing passed. So, friends, if you're in Ohio, go out exactly what Fred said. Go out and vote no on Amendment 1.
Also, harass your family and friends and fellow church members if you need
to.
Yes. To make sure they go to the polls today and vote no on Amendment 1.
I was listening to Tony Perkins on Washington Watch yesterday. He said he was texting all his relatives. Tony was born in Ohio.
Right.
So he said he was texting all his relatives yesterday, get out and vote no on this. That's good advice.
Maybe even say to them, if you vote, if you don't go vote, the Buckeyes are going to lose.
Okay, in Ohio, that's like magic. Okay.
I know, right? Right. Tell them no. There's a connection there, then they're more motivated. They're be motivated. No, I don't want to trivialize that. I was just
well, you know, Tim, this much
kidding around.
True.
Go ahead.
There are a lot of good conservative church-going evangelicals.
Oh yeah,
in Ohio. I mean, we got AFR. We got a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Up in Ohio, right? So if the evangelicals, if the church-going conservatives will go to the polls today, this will be defeated. So it's largely in our hands as conservatives what happens to Amendment 1. So go and vote
absolutely.
No, and then let your friends know.
Yeah. As you said, Fred, I know the governor's race is in Kentucky and Mississippi. Some people think both of those will be close. By close, I mean within 2 or 3 points between Democrats and Republicans. So we'll watch those races. Any other gubernatorial races out there that you know of?
Those two are the ones that are getting the most attention.
Okay.
There may be some others, but those two are the big ones. And one of the reasons is, particularly in Kentucky, Democratic Governor Andy Beshear, Kentucky voted strongly for Trump in 20. Beshear is by a very thin margin. His dad was governor way back when.
Okay.
And so Daniel Cameron is the Republican. He is the state attorney general
right
now. So it's a very close race. That's why a lot of people are saying, okay, Biden endorsed Beshear, Andy Beshear, the governor there, the Democratic governor. So people are saying, okay, how much weight does Biden have in this?
Yeah.
Does Biden endorsement hurt Beshear? Biden did not go to Kentucky to campaign with Beshear. Maybe that would have been the real kiss of death for him.
Yeah. Kentucky's a red state, but like we said yesterday, every once in a while, a Democrat will pop up and win a statewide election, but it's rare nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of governors and endorsements, yesterday in Iowa.
Yes. Yeah, we had Kim Reynolds, governor of Iowa, Republican governor of Iowa. She endorsed DeSantis. Now, this is
the governor of Florida.
The governor of Florida. And I tell you, this is a big move. And she was interviewed on NBC about this as to why she decided to endorse DeSantis over Donald Trump. Cut number 10.
I just felt like I couldn't sit on the sidelines any longer. We have too much at stake. I truly believe that he is the right person to get this country back on track. I don't base my decision on polls. I take a look at who I believe is the right person for the right job. I believe that Ron is the right person for the right job, and I believe he's going to win.
Do you believe Trump can't win?
Yeah, I believe he can't win, and I believe Ron can.
That was Governor Kim Reynolds in Iowa.
Correct.
Yesterday. Okay, so the lay of the land right now is that Trump is ahead in Iowa. Everything is predicated on if you believe the polls.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So, and polls are, you believe polls if your guy's winning. If your guy's losing, you don't believe the polls.
Right.
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 Isn't that right. The way this works?
That's exactly how it works.
That's how it works, almost with everybody. However, I will say this. If you see multiple polls and they're basically showing the same thing, I think you've got to say, well, that means something. Okay, so having said that, if you look in Iowa, for example, when you see, I've seen multiple polls that show at this juncture Trump ahead.
Yes.
By, I don't know, 15, 20, 25 points. It just depends on what poll you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Statewide in a Republican caucus. Not a primary.
Right.
But the factor you got, okay, on the other hand, DeSantis has basically been setting up camp in Iowa. He's going to go to every single county before the caucuses get here in January.
About 70 days away.
So he's invested, it's about all or nothing in Iowa. He thinks his campaign, he needs to win Iowa, or at least come really close in Iowa to get some momentum going forward. So this is a big help for him.
It is.
Governor Reynolds endorsing him.
Well, it puts the Reynolds election machine behind him.
Right.
She has a big base of support.
There was an interesting comment she made right there. Two things she said was, and people may disagree with her, because I have friends on, can make arguments both ways, and we won't know who's right till we get to the test, right? But she doesn't believe that former President Trump can win a national general election. That's her belief.
Yes.
So you say to her, well, if you don't believe he can win, who do you believe can? And that's what she said. She thinks that Governor DeSantis can win a national election. Now, she may be right or she may be wrong, but that's her view as a governor in Iowa. Yeah. But I have other friends who say, no, only Trump can win. See? And I'm sitting here saying, well, I guess we won't know till all this plays out.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, of course, former President Trump is clearly the front runner in the Republican field.
Yes.
However, how will his court cases affect that?
Mm-hmm.
What if he's convicted of multiple felonies?
Yes.
Then how does that affect the campaign?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be, as we said yesterday, it's going to be crazy. The next year, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. And we'll just have to see what happens. But it is a big feather in the cap of Governor DeSantis, who needed something, some good news, right?
Because the polls have shown he and Nikki Haley are tied right now. And then you have the debate amongst the Republican primary candidates tomorrow night.
Is it tomorrow night in Miami?
Tomorrow night in Miami.
Yeah.
NBC is going to be moderating that. That should be an interesting event, too.
Lester Holt. And who else?
I'm not sure, but the Fox.
Who's on the stage for that?
Who's on the stage for that? Well, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy. Tim Scott and former New Jersey Governor Christie.
Those five have qualified?
They have qualified this time.
Okay, the others, no.
Well, Pence bowed out there
about
a week ago, and Burgum, the governor of
North Dakota,
did not make the numbers required this time.
Yes.
In poll numbers
so
and support.
We're down to five on the stage.
Five on the stage.
And Trump has said he's not going to
be
there.
He won't be there. No.
Okay. All right. So, and I don't blame him. If I was that far ahead, if that's true, if you believe the polls, I don't see any upside for him going to a debate. All right, so Frank Turek joins us now from North Carolina. Frank, good morning to you.
Hey, by the way, I'm sure you guys have seen the Speaker of the House who has taken a bunch of heat for being a theocrat. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah.
Probably talked about it, right? And these people can't make simple distinctions between legislating religion and legislating morality. Everybody's trying to legislate morality.
Yeah.
But we're not trying to tell people where, when, how, or if to worship. That would be legislating religion. And they just can't make that clear distinction. And they're trying to legislate morality. Actually, they're trying to legislate immorality. But
you're talking about the liberals attacking attacking Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, because he's an evangelical.
Yeah, because he has a biblical worldview.
Right.
As if he wants to impose on everybody Old Testament law, and if you're not a Christian, then you can be somehow kicked out of society. That's not what he's trying to do.
That's intentional. They're intentionally confusing that because they don't when they call Biden a devout Catholic. I mean, we get that all the time from the liberal media, right, Ray?
Right,
Biden is a devout Catholic.
Except he disagrees with everything the Catholic Church says.
Right, but it's okay to be. But
that's okay.
It's okay for him because. Mike Johnson can't be a devout evangelical or Protestant, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, of course.
No, they're just trying to scare people. It's the same old thing that Biden uses. You know, the number one threat to America is white supremacy. We yeah. all know that's a bunch of garbage, but he just uses that to, you know, to try to whip up people against, you know, I don't know, white Christians or something. I don't know what his game is. Scare people.
If he's against white supremacy, why is he still the president? You know, I mean, he could just resign. He's white, right? Isn't he white?
I think we need to ask Karine Jean-Pierre that today, and she can be very clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. What, you know?
I want to be clear.
I want to be clear. So
that's what her favorite. That's her go-to. You know how Jen Psaki used to say, "I want to circle back. I'm going to circle back."
Yeah.
Karine Jean-Pierre, she wants to be clear about every minute or so.
I wonder if she's going to get a question today on what happened in Washington, D.C. last weekend with those up to 100,000 pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas. I wish I was Peter Ducey today and ask her, do you call those people extremists? Look what they did.
You know, she asked about that yesterday? I don't even know.
No, she wasn't. Peter Ducey was making the remark this morning. You know, these demonstrators, amongst other things, they put red hand marks on some of the gateways.
Yeah, I saw that.
He said, if I walked up to one of those gateways and I did what those people did, I'd be arrested on the spot. By the way, they haven't been able to remove those painted marks on that wall yet. It's amazing. Frank, I know you've been following this. It's amazing. The split now in the Biden administration, State Department, a leaked memo, basically chastising the Biden administration for supporting Israel. This is creating problems for President Joe Biden.
That's why the Babylon Bee has a headline today. Biden checks his latest poll numbers to see if Israel still has a right to defend itself.
Hey, listen, that's a good headline.
I mean, how does anybody, if they know anything about history, and maybe that's the reason they don't, they're coming out for Hamas. How do these people not realize that they're supporting the new Nazis? That's what Hamas is. Here's Article 13 of their charter. Quote, there is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors, unquote. Do you notice that this has nothing to do about land? Zip, zero, nada. If all the Jews got up and left Israel and went to Vermont, they would still want the Jews dead. This is not about land. That's why they reject every single land proposal that Israel tries to give them. In 2000, it was Ehud Barak offered Yasser Arafat a land deal. So at one point in Israel, Israel would be only 9 miles wide, and Arafat rejected the deal. Why? Because it's not about land. It's about just killing Jews. That's what it's about. It's about jihad. It's been going on for 1,400 years. That's why there's no and never will be a two-state solution. Clinton got this wrong. Bush got this wrong. Obama got this wrong. Trump got this wrong. Biden's getting it wrong. There is no two-state solution because it's not about land. It's about jihad. It's been going on for 1,400 years.
Ray, any thoughts on this?
First of all, Frank, thank you for stating what is not just the truth, but is the obvious truth. This isn't about land. This is about, one of the leaders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a few days ago called Israel, quote, a cancerous tumor that must be removed from the face of the earth. And well, kudos to him for stating the obvious truth. This isn't just about, oh, give us land. No, it's about wiping the Jews off the face of the earth and eradicating the nation of Israel once and for all. So I'm actually pleasantly surprised that the United States hasn't tried to stop Israel altogether in what they're doing in Gaza. It's everybody should hate war, but Israel has a right to defend itself and to wipe out Hamas, or else what happened on October the 7th is definitely going to happen again.
Ray, imagine if Hitler had said, we need a ceasefire after we started advancing on Berlin. We need a humanitarian ceasefire. What?
What?
Yeah. Right.
Frank, you go to university campuses a lot. Are you surprised by the level of Israel hatred that we are seeing manifested on university campuses since October the 7th?
Well, I'm surprised because it's obviously wrong and it's immoral to be supporting new Nazis. But I'm not surprised because these kids are not taught the truth about history. They have no idea about history. You know, isn't it? I mean, that we know the Jews archaeologically, forget about the Bible for a second. We know the Jews were in Israel as early as 1406 BC, because when we look at Jericho, the book of Joshua describes exactly what we find in the dirt in Jericho. They were there, and there's other archaeological discoveries which show us the Jews were in the land 1500 years before that land was ever named Palestine by Hadrian, the second century Roman emperor. So they've been there forever. Now, typically, what people think is, well, if you're in the land first, that's your land, right? In fact, what does the left say about people here in America? Oh, we are the colonizers because we took the land from the Native Americans. That's what they say. But when you go over to Israel, you know who the colonizers are? Israel's the colonizer, even though they were in the land before Palestinian was even a word.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They're the true indigenous people.
Yeah. Why does this suddenly get flipped when you go over to the Holy Land?
Because it's not about land.
Of course not.
As you said, mm-hmm. And this seems to be said out loud, and the people saying it out loud are Hamas.
Yes.
In their charter, which you just read verbatim from, again, Hamas was chosen by the people in Gaza to represent them, if you believe in the election a few years ago. So at the Hamas charter is that Israel does not have a right to, I'm paraphrasing now, but although they may say this explicitly somewhere, Frank just read from it, they don't have a right to exist. That is, and basically it's Jews deserve to die. That's basically their charter, and that's why they act out on it.
Here's Article 7, Tim. Quote, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, unquote.
You're reading from what?
The Hamas Charter, Article 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody wants to read this. Nobody wants to take them at their word.
Yeah, okay? you can't negotiate with that.
No.
With people who have that as their mission statement, so to speak. You can't negotiate with them. So Israel's realized we can't negotiate with them. We're not going to. And by the way, I think Netanyahu said, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, I'm paraphrasing again, don't even think about a ceasefire unless they release the hostages.
Hillary Clinton said that.
She said the same thing?
She said a ceasefire would be stupid.
I'm a big fan.
It would just give Hamas an opportunity to re-equip and rearm. Hillary Clinton said that.
Well, Golda Meir, who was the prime minister of Israel many years ago, I'm paraphrasing what she said, but she basically said, if the Palestinians were to lay down their weapons, there'd be no more war. If Israel were to lay down their weapons, there'd be no more Israel.
Yes. You know something else I've noticed here, and I'm following it pretty closely, there's not an uprising in the West Bank in support of Gaza that I've seen in any kind of big serious way. I would be talking about Hebron, Bethlehem, Jericho, places like that are where the Arab/Palestinians live, but not Gaza.
I think there's been a little bit, but not much.
Not much. All right, Frank, what is your website? What's coming up this weekend on your show?
Crossexamine.org. And we're going to talk about this Mike Johnson situation, the Speaker of the House.
The theocrat?
The theocrat, yeah, he's a theocrat. Ladies and gentlemen, get out and vote today. Vote biblical, natural law, values. Vote no on Prop 1 in Ohio if you're out there.
What if they're not out there?
Then be a Democrat and vote several times there anyway.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Great being with you. See
All right.
You
Sandy Rios coming up in just a few minutes.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chance at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so please be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. If you're like most of us, you're paying way too much for healthcare. That's why I want to tell you about a ministry that has been meeting the healthcare needs of hundreds and thousands of Christians, and that's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is cost-sharing made easy. For over 40 years, this unique model has allowed believers to choose their own doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they are not insurance, but a faith-based alternative to insurance. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. It all starts with a visit to chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving health share ministry serving all 50 states. Share the good news with a friend, too. chministries.com/AFR. Make the switch today with anytime enrollment.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Sandy Allen. Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with, Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard. Trying to get all my co-hosts right today because Chris is out and Ed's out. They're out till tomorrow. Chris back tomorrow? Is he on vacation or something?
No, he's working late to cover newscasts tonight to cover the election results. Okay. And then working late tomorrow night because of the debate.
Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening to the program. If you want to send us an email, I'm about to give you that address. The emails need to be positive and encouraging. Okay. K-Love emails. Positive and encouraging. Keep that in mind.
Tell us what we're doing right.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Who likes to be told they're messing up? comments@afr.net is the we take constructive criticism. We just give those to Ed. comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net is the email address. All right, well, our most popular podcast at afr.net is Sandy Rios 24/7. Sandy was a talk show host for us here in the mornings for 10 years, and she switched over to podcasting, and she joins us once every other week or so. And Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Ray. Good morning, boys.
Yes. Thank you.
We always get our dose of the sunny side of life when Sandy's on.
I'm offended by that. I can't believe you said that.
She's not positive and encouraging.
No, not always. Sandy is a positive and encouraging person on an individual basis, but a lot of times her news is not that way. Podcast is doing really well. You're getting a lot of good response, aren't you, Sandy?
Yes, we are. And I'm really enjoying the shows. I mean, we've interviewed such interesting people, and I've been through this before. Today I'm going to be interviewing someone that has been around so long people don't even remember who she is. That's Johnny Erickson Tada.
Really?
And, wow. Yes, Johnny has a brand new book, and she and I go back a very long way. So we're going to have a nice conversation, and I'm going to talk also about the John Eastman trial. These will not be airing today, but will they? No, yeah, but I have to stop and think about that. But the John Eastman hearing in California over his law license. The arbiters just made a decision, and we're going to talk about that too.
Are you going to have him on or not?
No, I just, John is a good friend, but I didn't ask him because I know he's exhausted. It's been a 3-week ordeal. So I have a journalist who has written 35 pieces on this joining me, Rachel Alexander, to talk about what she saw and how she experienced it. So it should be really good.
Gotcha. Well, Sandy, I know you've given a lot of attention to the people that were arrested and put in prison for the January 6th, riot that took place at the and you've given those folks a lot of and duly that needed to be it needed to be exposed what was happening to those folks. Fred, you have a story in front of you that we wanted to ask Sandy about.
Yeah, Sandy, I think I passed this along last week. Last Friday, a federal judge appointed by Donald Trump, and who also happens to be a graduate of Wheaton College, sentenced a Marine Corps veteran to nearly 6 years in prison for allegedly attacking police officers during the January 6, 2021 riot. Sandy, surprised for a couple. Now, he's one of 1,200 who have been charged. 1,200 people have been charged. I think you just had to be in Washington, D.C. that day, and you're getting phone calls from the FBI. That's how bad this is. But he got a six years in prison. He may have shoved a Capitol Police officer. Maybe. But I mean, the sentence is being handed out. But this one got my attention in particular, Sandy, because appointed by Donald Trump, but also a graduate of Wheaton College, this judge, U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden.
Well, Fred, this is what's been happening. There's a lot of things to say about this. This just is like a kick in my stomach. It makes me sick because what I know is happening, because I follow this, is that even judges, they don't have a clue. Prosecutors, for the most part, except those in D.C. in the Justice Department, they know exactly what they're doing. But it is so in the DNA of American law enforcement and prosecutors and the legal a community that January 6th was some sort of an insurrection, and all of these people are horrible, no good people. They've been branded that way, insurrectionists, that no one takes time to really think about what they're doing, and they don't really look into the situation. In fact, I just pulled an article this morning. Barry Loudermilk, who is a congressman from Georgia, has just released the images from January 6th. Kevin McCarthy had said a long time ago he was going to release all of that, but he didn't. And one of the videos that he released was a U.S. Capitol Police Sergeant, special agent, called David Lazarus, who testified against the Oath Keepers in a trial. Now, the Oath Keepers have gotten horrible sentences. I mean, years and years, horrible sentences. But because of this video, we know as of this article came out yesterday that U.S. Capitol Police Special Agent David Lazarus lied on the stand when he accused these particular Oath Keepers of doing what he said they did. He lied. And we know that because of the video evidence. And that's because and by the way, this David Lazarus was an assistant. She was assigned to Nancy Pelosi. So that's interesting, don't you think?
Yeah.
So there are so many lies and such lack of evidence. I was just looking at the article that you sent, Fred, and this Marine Corps served 9 years in the Marine Corps, deployed to Iraq, combat engineer, worked for the State Department, specializing in South America. Used to, when people would go on trial, deference, or at least a consideration, would be given to someone's service, their knowledge. But these men are being treated like trash and thrown away. And it just it drives me crazy. And I have one other really important thing to share with you before I stop and be quiet. They are using what they call sedition hunters to find the Justice Department is saying they're going to be finding 3,000 more people. They're not stopping. And they have kind of outsourced this to civilians. And so I saw an article on this, and I saw actually a video, too, of people bragging about how they were, you know, trolling the Internet, trolling Facebook, trolling anything. There are people that are still calling in their neighbors, their relatives that they suspect went there on January. This just went there. And they're still, the Justice Department is still looking for 3,000 more people to charge with something.
Sandy, do you know what has bothered me most about this? I guess what's bothered me most about this, I'm talking about the way that the people who got in trouble with the law over January 6th is that they were put in prison in Washington, D.C., jail, if you want to call it that, without trial or legal representation. Is that true?
Absolutely. Held without bail, held without being charged.
How is that even charged? But that, that's unconstitutional.
Yeah, absolutely. And with food withheld, medicine withheld.
You know this. Beatings. You know this from talking to family members, or know that.
Yes.
Okay.
I know this by reporters. I know this. I know this from congressmen like Louis Gohmert, who's been in the prison. I have a lot of sources on this.
Okay. And well, I believe you. I'm just asking for those sources.
I'm happy to affirm that, yes, I'm not. This is not like extrapolation on my part. And I know that the guards are Nation of Islam. They hate these men. They hate them. And they're the ones that have been overseeing their treatment in the D.C. jail and other places, too. It's sickening, Tim. They've been beaten. They've been not allowed to see chaplains or have any kind of religious services. They've been handed out Korans. I mean, it's unconscionable. Now, so this Wheaton College grad judge, you know, sends another one off. How many years was it, Fred?
Six years.
I don't know if he'll get a suspended sentence or not, but
none of them do.
No.
Yeah. Well, okay, Sandy. So Sandy Rios, 24/7. So you'll have an interview with John Eastman coming up. Or not with him, but you're going to talk about that issue.
I'm going to talk about John's happened with him, with a reporter who's been covering, has seen every second of the 3-week trial.
Gotcha.
And has written 35 articles on it. So Rachel Alexander is her name.
Gotcha.
And I don't know exactly when I'll be airing these. You know, I have to figure out where the puzzle pieces go. But we always try to deliver maybe some stuff that people are not hearing.
Yes.
But good sources. And so I hope people will tune in to Sandy Rios. Well, tune in.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
You can't ever get away from that when you've been in radio as long as we have, especially all your years there in Chicago and then on there with us here at AFR.
Yeah, so I could just say podcast platforms, and AFR.net is our mothership, absolutely, American Family Radio. So that's where they can go to listen to it. It's easy.
Thank you, Sandy. Take care. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Take care, Sandy.
Thank you, Fred. Bye-bye.
That's Sandy Rios. You can go. Sandy has a podcast exclusively here on American Family Radio. So go to the website. Not now. Don't do it now. You're listening to our program. That would be insulting if you left our program to go listen to anything else. And we don't like being assaulted. So you go to Sandy's podcast anytime, Sandy Rios 24/7. Just go to AFR.net, AFR.net, click on podcast, and then click on Sandy Rios 24/7. Ray, what did you
Hey, I want thoughts? To make a go comment ahead. about what Sandy said, because she went over it so fast. 3,000, she called them sedition hunters, that they're out looking now. Looking to find more people who were there in Washington on January the 6th to charge them. You know, guys, this kind of reminds me of the famous line attributed to Joseph Stalin, find the man, find the crime. When you send people out like that and tell them, find people we can charge, you know what they're going to do? They're going to find people.
Yeah.
They're going to charge them and ruin and wreck their lives permanently. This is banana republic stuff.
Yes.
When you're basically you're creating,
you're trying to recruit fellow Americans to listen.
It's bad stuff.
Absolutely. And these people held without attorneys or held without a speedy trial. Anyway, what happened on January 6th was terrible, and we all concede that. I mean, it was you described it rightly, Fred. It was a riot that got out of control.
Not an insurrection.
It wasn't an insurrection. An insurrection, if it was an insurrection or a coup, it was the worst one in history. Because nobody burned down the Capitol. Nobody took nobody took hostages. Evidently, nobody brought weapons. Those people didn't come with the intention. And obviously, there were hundreds of thousands of people, not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds and thousands of people there. But that was a situation where people's emotions got out of control. They shouldn't have gone in. You can't do that. You can't completely lose law and order. Mm-hmm. But the problem is proportionality here. The sentencing doesn't match the crime. If you know what I'm saying? I think that, and everybody's seeing that for what it is, on these folks. I remember hearing from an FBI agent. I knew somebody who knew an FBI agent personally, and they said after January 6th, they were told, drop everything you're doing and find these people. Find everybody who was there at the Capitol. Now, you can't charge a person that didn't go in the Capitol, right? You can't charge them. That hasn't happened. Huh?
Well, no.
Well, unless
no,
you,
no, no, no.
No, no, wait a minute. Unless you were outside the Capitol and you started beating up police officers, for example.
Well, there have been some people charged, though, that weren't there. But they've been charged with conspiracy.
You talking about like the fella, Ray, you know who we're talking about? What was the gentleman's name? The Proud Boys guy?
Yes. Conspiracy.
Well, what they said right there was he planned the what they called an insurrection or the riot.
Yeah.
He was part of masterminding it. I don't know all the details of that, but I was wrong to say you had to go in. You didn't have to go in. You can be accused like this guy here, I guess, this ex-Marine, of assaulting a police officer.
Well, I think the stiffest sentence that I've seen, I believe, so far is 22 years.
Yeah, see, it's ridiculous.
22 years.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I'm glad Sandy's given it proper attention to this issue we certainly pray for those people.
You know, the Biden administration talks a lot about threats to democracy.
Right.
You know, and talks about white nationalists and all of those people, that they are a threat to democracy. Well, as Sandy just pointed out, the kinds, and you too, Ray, the kinds of what has happened there with these January 6th, this is banana republic stuff. This is dangerous. This, you know, I go back to the other example of the pro-life person there in Pennsylvania. He was with his son demonstrating outside a Planned Parenthood clinic in Philadelphia, got into an argument with a Planned Parenthood defender, and what happens is a dozen FBI agents show up at this pro-life person's home. A dozen FBI agents with heavy weapons.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, this is unheard. This is America. This is not supposed to happen. And by the way, the charges, he was found not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But does the FBI send 12 armed agents to surround the home of a pro-Palestinian demonstrator in Washington?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Whoever put the red paint you know, with their palm prints on the gates there.
Yes.
At Washington, is anything going to happen to them?
You know, I'm surprised that I'm a little surprised that those protesters in Washington D.C., the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, last Saturday, was it?
Yes.
Were able to get that close to the White House because I know visiting the White House 2-3 times a year as a tourist and leading tour groups, there's a barricade at least 50 yards away probably now that you have to stand behind.
Yeah.
You can't even, at least last time I was there, you couldn't even walk on the street. We used to be able to walk on the street, which is right in front of the north side of the White House. So go ahead.
Peter Ducey was on this morning. He's a White House reporter for Fox. He was saying Pennsylvania Avenue will be shut down sometimes if a backpack is found on a sidewalk. They shut the whole thing down. Peter Ducey was kind of asking, last Saturday, they didn't shut Pennsylvania Avenue down. They let these people go right up to the fence. Mm-hmm. And they were reaching through. They left things on the fence and then... Something's wrong.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, and Ray, we thank you for listening to our program. Again, today is Election Day, so make sure you go vote. All right, what's the next topic, Fred?
Well, we kind of mentioned this when we were talking to Frank about what's going on our university campuses, the hatred against the Jewish people, and the support for, let's face it, for Hamas. Well, this morning on Fox and Friends, they interviewed a Union College professor, Union College in New York. Stephen Burke is the professor. And he was disappointed that his college didn't rebuke one of his students who in class called out for a Jewish genocide. And there was a college official apparently in the class that day and said nothing. This is a student calling for the execution of Jews. And the college did nothing. Here's this college professor, Stephen Burke, cut number 6.
But there's a lot of hate out on campus. What really surprised me was the reaction of the administration. The vice president of academic affairs was in the audience. She heard it. She didn't do anything. At the end, she got up and made what I thought was a self-serving speech and did not rebuke the student. And then yesterday morning, the president of Union College issued a statement, a long letter, supported by the chairperson of the chairwoman of the Board of Trustees, in which they actually conflated me with the student. They said they didn't condone what the student said, and they didn't condone what I had said in rebuking the student.
That's absolutely amazing. Can you imagine a scenario where instead we're not talking about genocide for the Jewish people, but if a student got up in class and called for the expulsion of all transgenders on campus, what would have happened to that student?
Oh, wow.
Gone.
They'd be gone.
Gone, period.
But you call for the execution of all Jewish people, and the administration gets up and says, oh, well, you know, it's emotional. So what?
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech. All of those things that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony Perkins on Washington Watch last night had a guest on, and the suggestion that they made against, you know, Harvard has this $1 billion in its endowment fund. Those universities that are tolerating this anti-Jewish movement on their campuses, they ought to be penalized. They ought to be penalized for what's going on there. But this has been brewing for a long time, and it's one of the things that's coming out in this story that there is a problem amongst our young people. Frank was just talking about this. They've never been taught the truth. They've been taught lies about what's going on with the Jewish people in the Middle East.
Yeah, this is a big problem for the Democrat Party too, Ray.
Yes.
Because they are divided.
Deeply divided between the people who on one hand, one part of the party wants to support Israel, supposedly, President Biden and others. And there's clearly not just a pro-Palestinian faction, but they are against Israel, and they are against what Israel is doing in response to the attacks of October the 7th. I don't know, Tim. I don't see any way to get the party unified, because they won't. They what are they going to do with the squad? With what are they going to do with those people who are so clearly in favor of Hamas inside their own party?
I know, and also not only the squad and their view and the those people, but also the Jewish population in America who generally vote Democrat, right?
Right.
Probably 2-1 at least they vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are faced with I don't even know who my friends are anymore.
Right.
The Democrat Party, because it seems like to me half the people want us dead.
Yeah.
Are we going to continue to vote Democrat? I think a lot of the Jewish people in America who have voted Democrat, they are secular Jews for the most part. That sounds like an oxymoron, and it is really. But they don't necessarily, they don't observe Jewish, they don't go to synagogue much. They're like Easter Christmas Christians.
Right.
Am I right, Ray?
Right. 100%.
So they think secularly.
Sure.
And they have also been told by Biden and others that you need to be scared of the white supremacist. KKK out there, they're all over the place. And that's right. Who you need to be scared of, not Hamas supporters. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if there's going to be a rethinking, perhaps, in the American Jewish population, which they only represent, I think, 2-3% of the vote. But still, in New York and in Florida and some other places, there's a significant percentage of Jews enough to make a difference in an election, in those yeah. states in particular. So anyway, I wonder what percentage, do you know what percentage, Ray, would be considered practicing Jews?
It's a small percentage, okay. Right? The vast majority are, you wouldn't necessarily call them non-practicing. They show up on maybe the high holy days like that, but they are not devout. You certainly have the Orthodox and the ultra-Orthodox. That's a different category, right? But mm-hmm. for so many of the Jews, they are secularized. I don't want to call them purely secular, but they're secularized. And what are they going to do? What are they going to do next year?
Right.
How are they going to vote?
Right.
Who are they going to decide really represents their interests?
Mm-hmm. All right. We will be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.